Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, praise it up. Raise it up and praise it up. Yeah, St. Paul says we should give these things our top priority and consideration in our daily mindset, which means I'm guessing that we should talk about that kind of stuff too, the pure, the lovely, the excellent. That is certainly what we attempt to do each week on Call Me Catholic, and we're glad you're on board to join us. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of hopefully uplifting conversation that is intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my engineer-in-chief fact-checker, is the kind of, you're in the air traffic control tower for us, right across from me, making sure we're cleared for takeoff.
We're up on the eighth floor. We see the little planes flying by the window.
Yeah. So, and you've got all the dials just like those air traffic controllers do.
It's impressive.
That's a pretty gritty job, though, actually, to be in one of those towers, don't you think?
I can imagine there's an awful lot to weight on your shoulders there.
Yeah, responsible for so many lives. I think those guys have a lot of stress on their heads.
I would
How
have
tall
to
do you
agree.
Think those towers are?
Oh, gosh. Probably 15 stories high?
Yeah. So I think, I would guess that Hartsfield Jackson Airport in Atlanta would be the tallest one in the United States, because I know they're the busiest. I think they have like 2,500 to 3,000 flights in and out of
there. You're probably right.
Yeah. So, well, we are not coming to you actually from the air traffic control tower. We are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope, which is even better, on the quite beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. And I think we're about 250 feet up in the sky.
This was the tallest building in OC for a period of time after it was built.
Yeah, because so they count the cross on the tower, which is another couple of hundred feet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so very distinguished. We are the Diocese of Orange, nestled in there between San Diego and Los Angeles. And we happen to be a travel destination for a lot of summer visitors who are seeking out a fun and interesting region to enjoy with their family. There's Disneyland and Angel Stadium right in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But the greater region has beautiful beaches, missions. Mission San Juan Capistrano is the jewel of the missions, worth a visit all on its own.
Yep.
Excellent shopping, very cool recreational opportunities. It's a lovely place to visit. And if you are planning a visit to the Orange County area, I do hope you include Christ Cathedral on your itinerary. The cathedral itself is under renovation to bring it to its full glory as a place of Catholic worship. But there are still 35 acres of landmark buildings, stunning artwork and really beautiful gardens. A lot of history as well. And we are in the midst of, there's a lot of construction going on actually right now, because we're also building a shrine devoted to Our Lady of Lavang, in honor of all the beautiful Vietnamese people that populate our diocese here.
We'd love having visitors here. We do.
Yeah. So we hope you will include us in your plans. It's free too. You can't say that about every place of interest, in your vacation plans. So summer is definitely upon us. Lots of people getting ready to board a plane to visit their relatives or start a vacation they've been planning and saving for. Therefore, I declare this show will be about summer, summer fun, summer plans, staying Catholic through the summer season. No reason not to. And I have a guest today who is a perfect foil for that conversation, Lisa Hendy. You all know Lisa Hendy. She travels a lot. So we're going to talk about summer travel. She's written a wonderful series of books about the saints for children, so we'll touch on our summer reading list. And she is all about family, which is another central theme of summer. Lisa Hendy actually founded CatholicMom.com, which is now part of Holy Cross Family Ministries. She's a popular regular guest on many EWTN programs because she is so conversant about all things Catholic. But today she's in our studio. We get her, and I really look forward to starting that conversation with Lisa in just a minute. And then we'll finish up our summer hour with a Chatting with Catholics segment that asks some Catholics at a local parish here in the Diocese of Orange to share with me a favorite church that they visited during one of their vacations. I mean, we all have those memories, right?
Yes, yes.
It's kind of fun. So by the end of this hour, you should be really ready to fully embrace the summer season ahead. But first up, it is our Call Me Catholic countdown, which this week will be, Well, it will be about my favorite Catholic memories from summers past. Now, summer is obviously not a liturgical season, not as far as I know. It's ordinary time, right? We get the green vestments. But for me, it has its own Catholic rituals and traditions and devotions that are particular to the summer months. This is a little bit about taking your Catholicism with you into the summer. And especially if you're a parent and maybe your kids are in Catholic schools, they're out for the summer and sometimes you lose that structure that reminds you about the different practices that we enjoy as Catholics because you don't have you're not getting the assignments from school.
Kids sleeping until noon, you know.
But summer is a great opportunity to build some traditions of your own. So for this particular Call Me Catholic Countdown, I'm going to make it very personal and I'm going to share some of my favorite memories about being Catholic in the summer.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Summer style. Okay, number five is, it seems to me that we always get a visiting priest in the summertime. And that's always kind of fun to change it up at your parish. Now, I don't remember that so much growing up, but at our local parish where we raised our children for the last 34 years, the pastor used to go back to Ireland for summer. And then in exchange, he'd get an Irish priest to come over and be in residence at his Newport Beach parish for 2 months, which was not a bad deal for either one of them.
Right.
Father Bill got to go home and then Father John, the Irishman, would come out and I so enjoyed it. He had such a different demeanor about him. And I remember in particular a homily that he gave in his beautiful Irish brogue, and it was about Jesus calming the waters. You were in the boat with Jesus and the disciples when the storm and the squall came up, and he made us try to understand what we would do and how we would depend on Jesus and lean into Jesus and how we would feel. It's just a memory I have, and it's, you know, he just brought a different personality. So I always enjoy our visiting priests that come to our parish during the summertime. Do you have visiting priests in your parish during the summer?
Yeah, we certainly do.
Yeah, there you go. All right, number four would be the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th. This is the day when we observe the Blessed Mother's reception into heaven. Now, because it was during summer, it always had a little different feeling to it. You know, when I was in school, in grammar school, and when my kids were in grammar school and high school through the Catholic years, Catholic schooling. You know, those holy days of obligation, you remembered to go when you were going to school anyway, or sometimes they became part of the curriculum, school curriculum. But in the summer, it was always a little bit different to remember August 15th, we go to Mass because we're honoring Mary. And sometimes we were in vacation spots or at friends' homes or something like that. So that was always kind of cool. And it was also my childhood friend's Mary McGarry's birthday. Now and in retrospect, I think, well, of course, that's why she was named Mary. Okay, number three is about saying the rosary on car trips. Now, I didn't grow up in a household where we said the rosary every night. I did have friends whose families did that. But we always said the rosary in the car when we were either on a long drive or in particular when we were on a car trip. And one year when I was very young, I must have been about 8 or 9, my dad, my sainted dad, decided we were going to take a road trip from Los Angeles all the way up to Canada and back. And so he had in tow not only his wife and his four daughters, but my aunt, Margie, who was a single woman, and my grandma, Nani. And so he had seven women that he traveled with. We were in two cars. And so, you know, we kind of switched it off all the time, but we always synchronized saying the rosary. So we knew we'd be saying the rosary at the same time, kind of seeing the same scenery. It's a very potent, enduring memory that I have. And of course, we perpetuated that with our kids and car trips because we love car trips.
That is quite a memory.
Yeah. And you know what? It's just a beautiful time to say the rosary because as you know, you can settle the car down and it's a great way to teach your children when you have their attention about the rosary. Okay, number two would be visiting new churches. Because, you know, during the summertime we travel. And when we travel, we still go to Mass on Sunday at least. And so I do remember those churches that we visited and that were new experiences in new towns. And the one in particular that I remember was when we took our boys, they were all pretty much high school age, and we went to Kauai, Hawaii for the first time. We were on the island of Kauai. And I think I've actually told this story before, but we went on a long hike into the mountains, into the Pili Coast, like Nepali Coast. And we were very, very dirty by the end of that. And on the way back to where we were staying, I researched that there was a church that had a Mass at 5 o'clock, and it was synchronized with our coming through the town. So it was perfect. So we entered into this church, and they were like, oh, they could see we were kind of newcomers. So we wanted to sit way in the back because we were so dirty. Now they put us up in front. So then at the very end, the priest said, are there any visitors in the congregation today? And of course, my sons are at that age in adolescence where you just like, please do not call attention
no,
to me.
Mom, no.
But they all looked at us. Oh. And so we had to kind of stand up, and they came and put Lay's on us.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's a great memory.
I know. It's a very happy memory. So remember, too, to be on the lookout for visitors in your parishes that are traveling and visiting your parish. Be sure that you welcome them. Maybe not with a lay.
I was going to say, bring some extra lays to put on them.
And don't push them up to the front row. Nobody likes that. Okay, number one Catholic memory of summers would be summer camp. Now, I went to a camp in the greater Los Angeles area called Camp Maria Stella, and it was run by the Sisters of Social Service. I think it's still in operation in the Right Hood Mountains. But I'd go for about 10 days during my middle school years, maybe even a little younger than that. And I had such happy memories of that. Such great memories of being with the nuns and such a relaxed atmosphere. Very, very different from the school program, but equally as faithful and as penetrating as learning about your faith in the classroom. So I love that. And our youngest son went to a Catholic boys camp one summer at St. Michael's Abbey in Silverado Canyon, run by the Norbertines. He stayed there for a week, and it was just boys, and I think he had a great time. But maybe, you know, it's just Bible camp now. I know all the Catholic parishes usually do Bible camps for the kids.
Vacation Bible camp.
And that's a memory for a lot of kids, too. And we did get involved in that when our kids were young. I got very involved in that. We had a lot of fun. So there you have it. It's my top five favorite Catholic memories from the summer season. Now, when I'm a grandmother, which I'm not yet, I'm going to start some new Catholic traditions in the summer to be, you know, it's just a more relaxed time of year, and it's an excellent time to go on field trips to Catholic destinations, do some volunteer service, start a reading club just during the summer. Lots of creative options for enriching our faith during June, July, and August. Now, if you have some other thoughts on this subject, please do share them with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. We post pictures and a lot of good info on about our guests and about our upcoming shows. So join the family and friends on our Call Me Catholic Facebook page. Like us, check us out, or just follow us if you like. Whatever your preference.
Please do.
Jimmy G is my biggest cheerleader for the Facebook. Lisa Hendy is coming up next. She is the founder of CatholicMom.com, which has been a springboard to so many other ministries and rich activities in her very full life of faith. This is One Peripatetic Woman, and we'll be talking about summer travel, summer reading, and how to spend more time with your family this summer. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monday afternoon, 1 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount, where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we will be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
EWTN Radio Classics is our 24/7 teaching and devotionals channel straight from the EWTN archives. Go classic with EWTN Radio Classics online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hey kids, so glad you have joined us for our summer fun show. Yeah, we all feel like kids in the summertime. I'm Peggy Normandin, kind of a kid, and this is Call Me Catholic Summer Edition. Summer is indeed upon us, and most of us set a special agenda for June, July, and August. Maybe you've got some really terrific vacation plans ahead. Maybe you are going to dig into an ambitious reading, summer reading list. Maybe you just want to spend more time with your family. Or Jimmy G is giving me the sleepy thing. Maybe you just want to sleep.
Yes.
Sleep the summer
more
away.
Naps.
Okay. Well, I don't know how much our guest knows about taking naps. She doesn't seem to sleep. But we have a guest today who can guide us through those other expectations, we have for summer and how we can make the most of them. Lisa Hendy is a friend of Call Me Catholic. She's been on quite a few times and we are always so grateful to have her in the studio with us because she's a very busy lady. No naps for this gal. Lisa Hendy, as you might know, listeners, founded one of the earliest and most popular websites for Catholic mothers called CatholicMom.com. It was just recently acquired by Holy Cross Family Ministries, which speaks volumes to its following. Lisa is also an ambassador of sorts for Catholic Relief Services, which takes her to all corners of the world. She's a best-selling author. You may have read her Grace of Yes or attended one of the retreats she gives on that theme. She is just a highly respected and beloved disciple of Christ who puts herself out there in print, in public, online, and in person, and in the studio. Lisa Hendy, welcome back to Call Me Catholic.
Hey, Peggy. It's so great to be here. Hi, Jim.
Good to see you.
You know, Jim will remember this, but when I first started Call Me Catholic, which was 3.5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and it was just a local show, and I was not very well connected in the Catholic network of personalities, but I looked up CatholicMom.com because I thought, now that looks like a Catholic resource. I reached out to Lisa. You came right, you not only said, sure, I'd love to be on your show, you said, I'll drive down, and at that time you were living in Fresno.
Yeah.
Mm. And you drove down, and not only did you conduct a beautiful interview, but you said, oh, I want a tour of the campus. You are a beautifully curious person. And I think that must be what keeps you so alive and so engaged with the world.
Well, that and naps. Let me belie the fact that really? I don't. I'm an excellent napper.
Well, actually, it must be on plane.
I may have actually taken a nap today on the way down here. You just never know.
Well, do you have autopilot on your Mini Cooper?
No, but I'm very profoundly able to find a spot to take a nap at any time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, my kids used to laugh because when we'd snake through the carpool line at school and you had to line up, you know, to pick them up, the line would start moving and mom's car would be stuck because mom was taking a little nap. It's like, you know, the boys would be like, Mom, wake
up. Summer is the perfect time to relax like that, isn't it? No,
yeah.
But I mean, I love this topic today. And I think the reason that I wanted to come down here, in a sense, this is like a homecoming every time I come here because, you know, I grew up in Orange County and really in the shadow of this place. And before it even existed, our family knew of this area.
When it was Crystal Cathedral.
Yeah, so to see the changes every time I come here today, I came early just so I could walk around and see what's the same and what's new. It's really
well.
Beautiful.
That's Lisa. Yes, you did grow up in Orange County, and in fact, you went to Mater Dei High School, which is where my sons went.
Go Monarchs,
the largest private school, high school west of the Mississippi. And last year, Lisa Hendy was inducted into Mater Dei's very distinguished Hall of Fame, or they call it a Ring of Honor. And she is in very distinguished company there.
I have the one true ring. No.
That's true. No, but that told me how broad and expansive your stellar reputation is. So Lisa, let's start off by talking a little bit about travel. Let's begin by talking about family vacations that you really enjoyed with your kids. You have two sons.
I was just smiling when I heard your memories because I have to say that our family did the family rosary in the car too. And so that definitely for me is a very fond memory. We were big campers and we had a motorhome and we always began our motorhome trips as we were backing out of the driveway with the rosary. But our sons are great travelers as well. And if I were to make my list, one of the ones I would have put on, it happened with my son Adam during one of his college years when he and I took an 8,000 mile, 36 day road trip in my Mini Cooper.
Wow, 8,000. So that's like across the
Mini
country
Cooper.
And back?
Oh, yeah. All the way up into Canada. And so some of the highlights of that trip spiritually were stops at places like the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal, at the North American Martyr Shrine. And my favorite was the Shrine of St. Kateri, or Kateri Tekakwitha, who's a real dear patron of mine, tromping around in the area that she grew up in. I'll never forget that summer. And we didn't kill each other. together.
So it was just you and your
the
son.
The two of us. He had a music camp to go to in the Catskills. And if you figure out how you get from Fresno to the Catskills, we figured
there's no direct
might
route.
As well just drive there because all the flying that you're going to do to get there with 16 instruments that you need to take. So
Wow. We
did it. And it was, it's such a fond memory. And the two of us had so many great conversations on that trip. I think sometimes there are things that you can talk about driving in the car mm-hmm. that you wouldn't talk about anywhere else.
No, I think that is maybe why I think summer seems to lend itself to having good conversations
right.
with your kids. You know, just even sharing memories, teaching them the faith, exploring where they are in their life. Yeah, that's amazing. How long did it take you to do that?
36 days.
Wow. Well, okay, then I want to also ask, that's pretty fast driving in a motorhome.
Actually, no,
let me compute that.
No, the Mini Cooper.
Oh, you
which
did
is the thing that's
oh,
even more fundamental. Nope, just
okay.
the two of us in my red Mini Cooper, which is in your parking lot downstairs, which gets real small around day 12, Jim.
Wow. And fitting all those musical instruments, too.
We were kind of tight.
Wow. Well,
we made it.
Let's talk about last summer. I think it was last summer when you did the Notre Dame Trail.
I know. I
have been meaning to
that.
Get you
yeah,
in to talk about
so
that.
So that was an amazing pilgrimage last summer with several fellow people who were bonded to the University of Notre Dame on the 150th
anniversary.
And you
anniversary. Are a graduate.
Yes,
a graduate.
Greg and I were married actually in the Basilica there, so it's a very dear place for us. And what we did was to walk this pilgrimage 320 miles following in the steps of the founding father, Father Soren. And he did it, you know, with an ox cart, and we did it on our feet and some bikes. And it was the core group of 24 of us, and it was just an amazing experience.
Was it difficult? Because it
yeah.
must have been hot. And you were on your feet the whole time? Did you have any alternate?
Indiana in August has a lot of humidity and a lot of cornfields that are endless. And yeah, there were periods where it was like, really, Lord, what have I gotten myself into? The Camino sounds so much more beautiful than this. But it was an amazing experience. Really, for me, like profoundly spiritual. So,
wow.
Despite the physical challenges of it.
So they organized this to commemorate the 100-year anniversary. 150-year anniversary of the school. And were the participants hand-selected to sort of represent all the different years or phases of the school?
You know, now that I'm saying it 150, was it 175?
Yeah,
gosh,
I was older than that.
So anyway, the group was actually very diverse. And there were lots of grads, but also parents, staff members. Executive vice president of the university and even Father Jenkins, who's
wow.
the president, came
oh,
out.
He went along.
He did not. He was not able to do the full 2 weeks because he had to go back and open school.
Oh, how convenient.
But he was in and out.
He got driven the other half of it.
The governor of Indiana was with us for a day. We had all kinds of people from campus, lots of visiting priests, and many, many decades of the rosary prayed along the way.
Yeah.
So Our Lady was really present. It was truly a pilgrimage.
Tell me about your school, University of Notre Dame. My middle son graduated from there. How do you feel about that school? That seems to really stir up a tremendous amount of allegiance and devotion.
Well, there's devotion. There's also, you know, a fair share of conversation these days as Catholic universities strive mm-hmm. to be, you know, intellectual institutes and to kind of compete with the world around them, but also remain true to their Catholic teachings. I think the way that I feel about it is that it was such a beautiful springboard for our marriage and our family. It meant a lot to my parents, and in my family, all three of the girls went there. So all three sisters, we all went there, and we all met our husbands. So, two of us were married in the Basilica, and for me, you know, putting aside all the conversations about everything else, it is a deeply, profoundly sacred place in my life.
Yes. Well, people that graduated from Notre Dame usually wear it on their sleeve. On
even
their car.
In bad football years.
Well, and there have been a few of those. My poor son, he was there during this very dismal 4 years. But that did not interrupt his complete zeal for the Irish.
Yeah, and my sister still lives in Chicago, so it's a place that I try to get to when we talk about, you know, little kind of trips that you can take for me to be able to go over to campus and to light a candle at the grotto yeah. and to walk around the lakes and to kiss my husband in the spot where we kissed as newlyweds. Pretty special place.
And probably could go back to the place where you kissed him for the first time, too.
Yeah, where I kissed him a lot.
All right, I'm going to move on to another conversation. But does one more question, though. Does University of Notre Dame reach out to you as a very distinguished alum to kind of participate in some of those conversations?
I mean, I think that I've been really blessed to have some great connections on campus, and I've actually had the opportunity to address the United States bishops in one of the conferences that was held there on a break for the students. They had some speakers, so that's great. But they're all kind. We talked about the domestic church, what Catholic families want and need from their bishops. But I'd say, in terms of distinguished alums, there are so many at Notre Dame, and also that every one of us, you know, we're called, we're equipped there just as anyone in any Catholic institution is to be there, but then also to be sent.
Yeah.
And so that's the real mission, is what we're doing in the world around
us. I think that's very true. I think they have more, more interest in what people do after they leave Notre Dame than what they do on the campus. You know, I mean, they're trying to form them, but they want to send them out.
Yeah, it doesn't end when you're there. Yeah. So that's why I think, like, the things that are concerning about, you know, the faith or different issues, it's like, I just ask myself, I never stop praying for my university, but I also ask, what am I doing to be, for example, a pro-life Catholic in the world around me? And how can I do better? Yeah. It's an ongoing mission.
That's a very honorable attitude. You know, in one of the Notre Dame recent magazines, they always profile different interesting alum, as you were saying. And the guy who started Antique Roadshow, which is like my husband and my favorite public broadcast show where people bring in their antiques and they get them evaluated, he was a Notre Dame grad.
There you go.
I know.
There's all kinds of him.
I know. There's no end to it. So, Lisa, you recently moved from Fresno. You've made several references to Fresno, to Los Angeles. Now, your husband is an emergency room physician, and he's now working at UCLA.
Right.
And so even though you travel a lot, you haven't moved a lot in your life, you know, in your married life. You were settled in Fresno for quite a while, and I know you had your Catholic community around you. How is that going for you?
So we're just now into year two of being here, and it's been amazing. So the first year we lived right at UCLA in Westwood Village in an apartment, which was a trip to do that again.
Yeah.
And now we're in our home, and we're settling in. I don't have any excuse for the number of boxes I still haven't unpacked yet.
Books, Peggy. Probably all books.
But, you know, you've been in my backyard, and it's important to me at this point in our life to actually make this our new home and to try to gather friends around us and, you know, to open our home. So that's what I'm working on at this point.
Well, and finding the parish that
fits.
Because there's a lot of different parishes, and, you know, the geography kind of spills. You can have two parishes that are equidistant from your home, and you've got to find a good fit.
Yeah, it took us, we actually did 6 weeks of discernment on that.
And your husband is a musician, so he wanted to participate.
Exactly.
Is he able to do that now?
He is. If you're ever in West LA, if you go to St. Paul the Apostle on any Sunday at 5 p.m., you'll see us there, and Greg's up there playing the guitar, and it's just been a real great blessing to be there.
That's lovely to think that an emergency room physician with the demanding schedule that he has would want to make time and make it a priority to participate in the liturgy with his other gift of music.
He takes off every Sunday intentionally and prioritizes that. Wow. So it's been, and I'll share, he's a convert to the faith. So it's, to me, to see my husband receive the Eucharist even after all these years of this, because we were married 17 years before he came into the church. It's just a gift.
We've got lots more to cover in our Super Summer Show, so don't go anywhere. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Father John Ricardo.
When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day?
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features, and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
I know Carmelite nuns who get a call from their Mother Superior every June telling them where they're going to be assigned in the year ahead. And even if they know they're probably not going to be transferred, before that call, they're supposed to pack up all their belongings and wait for the phone to ring. It's an exercise in detachment from the world. We all go through that in our own ways, don't we? Maybe sometimes, you know, something becomes unstable in our current jobs, or a new opportunity opens up, or we have a financial crash that forces us to rebudget everything, or we go on a job interview, or maybe get a call from a doctor with some disturbing news. You know, even if those experiences don't pan out to be anything, and they usually don't overlook their importance. That's God reminding us that, in the end, this world isn't our home. And if you get too attached to the little comforts you surround yourself with, you won't be available to God's grace and His call in your life. Stay open. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Well, hello and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am your host, Peggy Normanton, and I knew you'd stay with us because we have Lisa Hendy in the house. Maybe you know Lisa from her regular conversations on EWTN's Sunrise Morning Show, where she gives social media and technology commentary and advice. Maybe you've read one of her best-selling books, like The Grace of Yes or The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, to name just a few. Maybe your kids read her Chime Travelers book series about the saints. Maybe you've been lucky enough to attend one of Lisa's award-winning retreats for women, or maybe you've read her movie or book reviews on her website, on the website she founded, actually, CatholicMom.com, which is now part of the Holy Cross Family Ministries. You know, it is always daunting to introduce you, Lisa. I kind of want to go, do I want to talk about all her exotic travels with the Catholic Relief Services? I'm fascinated by the fact that you can just hit the road and do these retreats nonstop, and the fact that you continue to be a prolific author. But tell us about, because we're talking about summer travel, we may not all be able to indulge in quite as exotic and adventuresome travel as you have, but where is the most exotic place you've been recently?
Oh, well, probably this year it was Kenya. I traveled with Unbound, which is a sponsorship organization, formerly the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging, a Catholic-founded organization, and our family sponsors individuals in India and the Philippines, but this year I was able to go with them to see their work in Kenya, and I'm still just reliving the beauty of that trip.
So, Lisa, and this is one of many trips like this you've taken in your lifetime, do you have a little trepidation at the beginning? Because you're not traveling. Are you traveling with friends or people you know?
So these are actually sponsor awareness trips. So in this case, I was with a group of sponsors who were going to meet their friends that they sponsor. And I did this in India and then the Philippines, too. So I know what that feels like. And actually, there is trepidation because not only are you going very far away, but you're going to be confronting a little bit of a language barrier. Mm-hmm. And these are not kind of luxury cruises when you travel with an organization like this. It's very simple accommodation, simple food fare, sometimes very different food fare, lots of long hours on airplanes. But to me, the best thing is that it's not about the sights that we see, but rather going into people's homes and going into the community to really get to know the places where these groups serve. It's the same thing when I travel with CRS. So I can't tell you necessarily that I've been to the top 15 tourist sites in Kenya, but I've dined with people in their homes and I've done laundry alongside them and picked, you know, coffee beans on their trees and farmed soybeans in Tanzania and things like that. And to me, the more that I travel, the more I desire that kind of authentic understanding of what it is to really live in that place, to work there, to worship there. Going to Mass in Kenya, you know, can you imagine? I'll just tell you, Peggy, one of the highlights, well, a 3.5 hour Mass that they told us they kept short because there were Americans there. And the highlight for me was the offertory procession, where not only were the bread and wine brought forward, but many people from the congregation brought forward items to be used by those who were less fortunate. So things like toilet paper, fresh water, and yes, even a live chicken was brought forward. So you'll never forget that when you see it.
Yeah, it's hard to keep a chicken's attention during Mass, I'll tell you.
They didn't leave him on the altar. He was brought up and then moved to the side. But really to see, you know, just how they live and worship, it's really life-changing, and to see the commonality of the body of Christ around the world is a blessing.
It really is, and how different it can look even though you're experiencing the same Mass. But I've got to dig a little deeper there. Why did it take 3.5 hours? Was there lots of singing? Was it a long homily?
There is a lot of singing. There were a few homilies, I'll say, because it was during the season of Lent. So there was maybe a little bonus homily. Okay. And not only at the moment where they take up the collection, they don't pass the basket. Every person in the church goes forward and they have a small collection box, and it's like as if you're going up to communion, but each person kind of puts their little offering into that, and maybe their offering is a prayer that week if they only have that. So then they did that, and then they had communion, and then they did that again because it was Lent and almsgiving. So there was a lot, and much participation and many singing of many verses, and it was amazing. It was really amazing.
And colorful fabric.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, just you can't help but sway. I didn't know what the words that I was singing were, but you really do get kind of swept up in the spirit when you worship in a setting like that. So
was it well attended too?
Oh, packed to the gills.
Yeah. And do they have enough
open air? I think that's depends on the region that you're in. This particular parish was kind of blessed with vocations, but it really varies. And, you know, going to Mass in India might be different, or the Philippines or South America, it's just different. So I always dwell on what the common things are. And, you know, you always know where you are in the Mass, regardless of what language it's.
Do they do the kiss? I bet the kiss of peace took a while.
It did.
Lots of big embraces.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope the chicken wasn't over with it. Well, Lisa, these people through this Unbound ministry, then they match up people in the United States or other countries that would, when you say sponsor them, that means sponsor them for their education?
Well, so the sponsor relationship is really such that we give a very kind of minimal monthly fee, and that actually is put into an account for the person that we sponsor. So I don't know much about other organizations, but with this one, we sponsor a particular individual. So I have a child in the Philippines and an elder in India. And so they have an account, and they have this funding for approved things that they need, whether that's help with housing or healthcare or education in the case of the child.
Is it managed for them?
It is, but they have ready access to it. And my favorite thing really is not the financial thing, but the fact that we write letters back and forth regularly and send pictures. So it's not like you're just kind of writing a check and it's going off to someplace. Actually, no.
It's a relationship.
Yes, it really is. And even I've had the blessing of meeting my sponsored friends, but even if you haven't, those letters, I've been into enough homes of sponsored friends to see that in many places, the picture of their sponsor is in an honored place, like a home altar area, and they pray for us. Yeah. And it's a really beautiful organization. So it's a great blessing.
What was that encounter like when you met your...
Well, with the child, it was really cute because, you know, she's, of course, very nervous right at first. And you usually have a translator with you. So that's great. And she totally came out of her shell. I don't have daughters. So now I have a new little... I have her calling me auntie. And then with my elder, I really just wanted to sit at her feet, the feet of this 83-year-old woman, and ask her for her wisdom, because she's a wife and a mother and a very profoundly spiritual woman. So I was like, give me all the advice that you can. And she lives in a very simple place and doesn't have much material, but emotionally and spiritually, she's a dynamo. So I want to learn as much as I can from her.
Yeah. So now, having visited them, you have this much more personal connection to them, and they to you too. That's lovely. You know, I have to say that sometimes when I hear about these sponsorship opportunities, sometimes they're advertised on television. You feel like, is this really going to, reach the person that they're picturing on the screen or in this pamphlet? So is there a way that you can kind of scrutinize these?
Oh, absolutely. So Charity Navigator is a great one. And any reputable charitable organization will spell that out for you and let you know what their due diligence is for that. I'll say too, having traveled with Catholic Relief Services, that it's the same thing, that you can go and see their work. And I've worked alongside donation recipients of, you know, that's really the church's charitable organization.
Yeah.
And know that little almsgiving that you do with your rice bowl during Lent, that it actually really impacts people. And that's, you know, the work of that Christ called us to, the gospel commission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are some of the other really impactful trips you have taken in your life? Well, just name off some of the places you've been.
Well, I have to say, I mean, the Columbia, sort of first one that really impacted me, that's not so much like going to the Holy Land with the Israeli Ministry of Tourism to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That was a great trip. Of course, any trip to
Wait a
Rome
minute.
Is amazing.
How did you get that assignment from the Israeli Tourist Association?
Yeah, that's a great way to go. You know, it made me long to go back on a pilgrimage, though, because we didn't have a priest traveling with us. So you're in all these profoundly spiritual places, but without the ability to, we had mass when we could, but it wasn't like on going on a pilgrimage. Travel to the Holy Land, you'll never read scripture the same again.
No.
You know, the great thing about all this now in the technological world that we live in, a lot of people can't take those trips. Sit down on YouTube and, you know, take a ride on the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a sea. I'm picturing like the Pacific Ocean.
It's like a lake.
It's a lake.
Yeah, it's a lake.
You know, so through virtual tourism now we can go to these places and you know, let the intellectually curious part of yourself that wants to know another part of the world feast on what you can find.
Use your imagination. And even EWTN has some excellent sort of travel documentaries to some of these really holy places like Rome and the Holy Land. But what were you doing for the Israeli Tourist Association?
You know, really writing about being there, because I think there's a lot of fear now. And this was a few years back. But, you know, the average person may have some trepidation, as you said, about going to a place like that. And am I going to be safe? And I mean, to me, I never think about that. I always make sure I get to confession right before I go.
You just strap your belt on and say, take me. I'm along for the ride.
But to me, you know, just the experiences that I've had. And as I said, like, I used to think, oh, well, what if I didn't see everything that's in my tour book? But now I'm more about, like, who did I meet along the way? And what did I learn from them? And how did I connect with them? What impression do I give of life here for them?
That's a very sensitive way to look at it.
Right, because you don't want to be sort of that ugly American that's like stomping around being really demanding. And then any times that things aren't right and you're, you know, sleeping someplace with a lot of insects or,
happened?
Oh, yeah, or there's maybe not a toilet or, you know, water is
delicate.
You know, it is, but, you know, it's something that you think about when you travel.
Yeah.
But then it's
you are a camper. Girl.
Well, you know, it really, I'll say it makes me think about families, you know, women whose primary role in life is to carry water for their family so that they can, you know, dine and bathe and wash their clothing and keep themselves clean. So that's a fact of life for a lot of the world. So any kind of like hardships, it's easy to just say, wow, this is nothing compared to what a large segment of the world's population. It's not so much like the, pleasure camp that, you know, if you're going to go to like an all-inclusive or something like that. But this kind of travel, I think, it really, really helps us to see, you know, our role as church around the world and how each of us are a part of that.
Well, obviously, that is an attitude that is getting you invited back by these organizations, because they know you're not a prima donna. They know you are authentic in your Catholic curiosity and your love of your fellow man and your desire to connect with people like that. So do you have any future trips planned? I know you've had plenty of past ones. Okay.
I do. So in about 6 weeks, I'll be heading off to Australia. I'm absolutely thrilled to be a guest of Marist College, which is the Marist brothers and fathers have multiple educational institutions in Australia, but I'll be going to Sydney and to Canberra, which is actually the capital of Australia, for
so
2 weeks.
My great niece and nephew in Atlanta go to Marist school in Atlanta, and that's a big deal. So what will you be doing for them?
So multiple presentations, some actually for the students in the schools. So talking, as I do here, about the idea that every one of us, even especially our kids, are called to be saints in the making and to be God's storyteller. So I'll be giving a few of those school talks. I'll be speaking to parents about parenting and domestic church in the digital age. I'll be speaking with some of the diocesan communicators about use of technology and social media.
So they're getting you for that's why Ms. Lisa's the full package. She can talk to every
I might
audience.
Be doing some dishes and maybe cleaning some bathrooms while I'm there.
I hope you're getting some shrimp on the Barbie too.
I'm not going to eat any Vegemite. I heard
No,
can't. I probably actually will eat it. Well, I always eat the gross stuff.
It's so. Put a lot of barbecue sauce on or something. I remember hearing the Olympians kind of complain about that. But no, I'd love to go to Australia. But Lisa, that's a lot of preparation for all these different audiences and all these different topics. Do you have this all in your mental Rolodex here, or file?
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to have to make some cultural shifts. And so I'm really in the process of learning right now about what does the church look like over there. I have to say mum instead of mom. Really kind of like as they go through some of the similar things that we're facing in our domestic church here, But what's different there and what does it look like there? And one thing that's really special, I just secured my housing for the time in Sydney, and I'm going to be staying at St. Mary MacKillop's resting place. There's actually, she's Australia's mm-hmm. first saint, and I have a real devotion to her. And I found out that the museum where her body is laid to rest actually has housing. So it'll be
the
like a little mini
has housing.
Yeah, there's they actually hold retreats and things there. So I'm gonna actually be sleeping
Near
the chapel where her remains are. And
well,
so that's
a lot of
be,
little late night chats with her.
Yeah, there. It's gonna be just amazing. And she's gonna I always choose for any foreign trip, I choose a patron saint, and I had already chosen her to be my travel mate along the way. So
lovely.
I'm gonna be right there with her.
Let's think about that for a minute. I think that's a very profound idea, to pick a patron saint for your travels. Now, of course, you've had lots of great variety in your travels, but what a lovely thing to do, even if you're taking a little vacation to Iowa, or you're going to Disneyland for the first time with your kids, or you're going on a camping trip. That's a great idea.
It is in most states, actually, and many cities have patrons that find out the patron of the diocese that you're going to. It's a great way of learning, but also just spiritual company along the way.
Yeah.
I think it's helped to protect me and keep me on the right course, and I love it.
So who have been some of your previous patron saints for travels, like when you went to Kenya?
Yeah, so with Kenya, it was definitely the Holy Family was my patron there, but also St. Josephine Bakita, who's not from Kenya, but is of African origin. And so she was really with me on that one. With the Philippines, it was a couple of the Philippine saints. And it's really just often the patron of the country mm-hmm. that I'm going to. Mm-hmm. For many instances, it's the Blessed Mother in different. So you mentioned Our Lady of La Vang mm-hmm. and the Vietnamese devotion to her. So often it's something like that for the country that I'm going to.
So never St. Christopher.
Well,
isn't he the patron of travel?
Yeah, St. Christopher is a tricky one. Do some reading about it. No, I definitely always have a St. Christopher medal because I have one in my backpack that I carry with me. But yeah, it's usually more related to somebody that actually had some roots in that country.
Yeah, I love that though. Lisa, that is brilliant. That is a very inspired idea that I'm gonna remind our listeners about throughout the summer months, because it's just a very easy way to learn about the saints and the fascination that your children will have for them, which can easily segue into the book series that you are continuing to write. I think you keep adding to it, The Chime Travelers, which is about saints. And it makes the saints very approachable to children.
Yeah, so that actually really has its roots in Orange County, too, because it's really kind of like a little bit modeled after my childhood parish, St. Barbara's mm-hmm. in Santa Ana. And it's the story of a brother and sister, twins, who travel in time and meet different Catholic saints. And really, they're on a mission because there's a problem in their modern life, mm-hmm. their modern parish or school or family that they have to solve through the wisdom of the saint. And it's called Chime Travelers because, and this is a good summer thing, look for the bells at any parish that you visit. There's always bells ringing around Catholic institutions. Beautiful bells on the tower here.
Mm-hmm.
So the bells are kind of the methodology that we use, if you will, for the time mm-hmm. travel. But
it takes them back in time.
Yeah, it's a teaching thing because really, you know, how many of us live near a church and hear a bell ring at noon and don't know that it's the Angelus bells calling us mm-hmm. to prayer, or we don't necessarily know why during the consecration the altar server is rattling those bells.
Well, I love them to rattle the bells. In our parish, they stopped rattling the bells.
And it's a way to kind of teach it. You know, I use words like narthex and sneak it in there a little bit with some of the sassy fun too, just so that the kids will learn a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it helps the kids to kind of look around at their own parish and see, you know, what is it about my church that is similar,
which is unique, or what do I have in common
right.
with all these other churches? So check that out for maybe a relative, your own kids, or maybe your neighbor kids, or your grandkids, or your godchild, the Chime Travelers. And you have five of them now.
Yeah.
Okay, you've done St. Kateri, St. Francis,
the original St. Patrick,
St.
Clair, okay. and then the Holy Family. The last one is called The Strangers at the Manger.
Stranger at the Manger, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're very colorful, very, very fun to read. Speaking of family, Lisa, your website, which you founded, CatholicMom.com, how many years ago?
In the year 2000.
2000.
Oh my goodness.
Just with an idea that maybe she would put some of her Catholic thoughts, you know, online and establish
no,
it.
No, I was looking for help.
But it exploded, and it really is the longest, most popular site for Catholic mothers on the internet. I mean, that's when I was starting to search out, when I mentioned earlier in the show, different sources for radio guests and radio topics. That came up instantly. Well, last year, it was quite an honor and quite an achievement that you were acquired.
Yes.
By a very family-oriented
Absolutely.
Ministry.
Holy Cross Family Ministries, which founded by Venerable Patrick Peyton. And if you want to talk about a saint, this is America's saint. He's on his path to canonization.
Well, he was born in Ireland, though, wasn't he?
He is, but he was ordained here in the United States.
He's all American.
In the Congregation of Holy Cross. Yeah. So I have my
Yay.
Notre Dame time.
Yay, Irish.
And really, this is his apostolate was to the world to, you know, proclaim the beauty of the rosary, but especially to proclaim that the family that prays together stays together.
Yeah.
His theme, his motto, and to see our work become a part of that kind of umbrella of ministries, which ministers in 16 countries around the world.
Yeah.
You know, nothing can hold back the power of the Holy Spirit.
And the power of the rosary. You know, his story is so compelling. And I know that there is someone that is in the going about making a movie about him.
Right.
And
there's a documentary.
Our friend Megan. And I want to get her in to go in depth on that subject completely. But you're going back to his mass.
I actually just got back.
It was
June 10th. And beautiful celebration there at the headquarters in Easton, Massachusetts.
For Father Peyton?
Yeah. A massive Thanksgiving. I was able a couple years ago when Venerable Fulton Sheen was made venerable to go to his Mass of Thanksgiving too. It's a little different than what you might imagine at a canonization Mass and often kind of held in proximity. So Sheen's was in Peoria, Illinois, and this one in Easton where Father Peyton is laid to rest in the cemetery there. And anytime I get to go back there, it's like a pilgrimage.
Well, he's a fantastic story. And, you know, even though he was born in Ireland, he's a great American story. And because he is venerable and he's on his way to sainthood, invoke his intercession. I mean, look to him, to family troubles that you have, to some fractures in your own.
I speak with him quite regularly.
You have a great family. Well, but I mean, we all have troubles. You know, we all have challenges in our family life and extended family life. And he was, you know, he came from a beautiful family, but he was all about the rosary as this really binding tool that brought families together. And he, you know, that's how he got into television, because he wanted to reach as many people as he could through it.
Right.
So he became kind of an icon in Hollywood.
And I think his message is really timeless, because regardless of what, you know, technology we're using, we all want to pass the best along to our children. Mm-hmm. And the faith is the best thing that we have to give. And it can be really challenging for parents when, you know, in today's world, there are lots of big questions that our kids are asking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we always have to have all the answers, but we can constantly be praying for our families. Mm-hmm. And he's a great patron for families.
And he's on his way up. So he's interested in making a difference. He wants to make a name for himself here with his ministry. So definitely do invoke him. Well, you also have your own website with your own individual blogs and reviews and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's LisaHendy.com?
LisaHendy.com. That's where you'll find my musings, my travels, my social media, and most recently my podcast, Lisa Hendy and Friends.
Yeah.
Which you need to come on, because you're my friend in real life.
I am your friend in real life. And she does great interviews with interesting people. So there's a lot of resources there. You can just tell from how interesting Lisa is, how many places she's been to, how many places she's going to, what she's doing. I don't know how you continue to be such a prolific writer in the midst of having your mind go in so many different directions. You continue to be just a real inspiration to me. Thank you so much for being on our show today,
Thank
Lisa.
You, Peggy.
I'm grateful for our friendship, and I'm really grateful for everything you've taught me about relationship, about communication, and about engaging with people about our faith. You know, it always comes back to the faith, and you're beautiful at always circling it back to the Catholic faith.
Well, thank you, and I love listening to your show, especially recently. You've had lots of my friends on, and just the work that you guys are doing here to let people know what the Diocese of Orange is capable of. And I love that, you know, as this building near us continues to evolve, that you're here shining a light. It's really special.
High praise from
good
such
job,
a person,
Jim.
Don't you think, Jimmy G?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hey, we're going to continue our little conversation about travel and summer fun because we're going to be talking to some parishioners at a local parish about their favorite churches that they visited while they were on vacation. I took my microphone out to a local parish here in the Diocese of Orange, and I asked some well-traveled Catholic parishioners what was their favorite church that they ever visited while they were on vacation. Here's what they had to say.
Call Me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
I am out here talking with some very well-traveled Catholics in our area, and I'm asking them to share with me a special memory they have from visiting a Catholic church while they were on vacation.
One of the most beautiful churches I've been to is in Paris, in the heart of Paris, and it is the Chapel of the Miraculous Medal. And I remember it so vividly because I went to the altar and the words on above the altar said, all those who come to my altar will receive many graces. And I have a very special devotion to the Miraculous Medal, so that's one of my favorites.
If we're talking about travels and churches and inspiration, of course what jumps out in my mind is St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. I was traveling there with my daughters, and I was alone one day while they were doing something more exciting, I guess. And I decided to walk to the cathedral and just look around. And I was so inspired by how beautiful it was that I never did forget that.
I believe it was 1965. I was in the Boy Scouts, and we were on our way to Philmont Scout Ranch. And we were camping in Oak Creek Canyon in Sedona, Arizona. And on Sunday morning, one of the scoutmasters took those of us that were Catholic to the local Catholic church, which was just stunning. It was built into the rock and the cross, and it looked over the valley. I believe it's called the Chapel of the Holy Cross, and I can assure you, if you ever have a chance to visit, the view is spectacular, although the scenery has changed dramatically in Sedona since 1965, but that church is still magnificent.
A special memory was when we were visiting with my family in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and we had gone to Midnight Mass. The church was Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We walked in. It was a cute little quaint chapel, and the music was playing on a record player. And as we walked out, it was snowing, the beautiful snowfall of all, and it was such a special meeting.
We were on a cruise off of the coast of New England. It was a fall foliage cruise. And one of the first days was a Sunday, and we stopped in Camden, Maine. We found a church. It was Our Lady of Good Hope. And it was a darling little church, but what I remember most was in how engaged and active the congregation was. And I often think of them.
Yes, I was traveling in Prague with my two daughters. We went to Mass at the church in Prague, the home of the Infant of Prague, at Our Lady Victorious. And while we were there, we heard these beautiful choir. We turned around. There's a group of Philippine Americans on a tour of Europe, and it just made the trip so much more special to share Mass with these young American kids. It was very memorable.
I hope you get to visit some great churches in your travels this summer with your families and your friends, or even just visit some churches in your area that you haven't seen yet. Mostly, we want you to tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.